Today's scripture comes from Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. Then he said, "There was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, 'Father, I want right now what's coming to me.' So the father divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through that country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses. He said, 'All those farmhands working for my father sit down to three meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against God, I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand.' He got right up and went home to his father. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. The son started his speech, 'Father, I've sinned against God, I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again.' But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, 'Quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found.' And they began to have a wonderful time. All this time, his older son was out in the field. When the day's work was done, he came in. As he approached the house, he heard the music and dancing. Calling over one of the houseboys, he asked what was going on. His father said, 'Son, you don't understand. You're with me all the time, and everything that is mine is yours. But this is a wonderful time, and we had to celebrate. This brother of yours was dead, and he's alive. He was lost, and he's found.'" Luke 15, verses 11 through 32.
Over and over again, we talk about what it really means to be a Christian, what it really means to be a person of faith, and that is to be connected with God, our Creator, to be in a relationship of love with God. That it's not about the rules. Now, of course, we want to be people of character and people of integrity, but it's not about following rules or traditions or a set of prescribed doctrines. Now, that part makes some people a little nervous, that we start to wonder, well, it's got to be a little bit about the rules. It's got to be some about the rules. It can't be nothing about the rules, because the rules are important, right? Today, I want to show you why it's not about the rules, that it is always about being connected with our Savior, Jesus Christ, be connected with the Father, our Creator. And much of what I'm going to say today, I want to credit to an author by the name of Tim Keller, great writer. Anything you read by Tim Keller is fantastic. I highly recommend him. And he wrote a book called Prodigal God, which talks about this story in Luke 15. Now, the first part of this story is pretty famous. If you were raised in church, you probably know the story of the prodigal son, that this young man decided that he wanted his portion of his father's wealth, and that was quite a lot. His father was quite wealthy. And he wanted to go out and live it up in the sin of the world. And he blew his money on prostitutes and alcohol and a lot of fine sins like that. And before long, it was all gone. And he was slopping pigs. Now, that's not a great job to start with for a lot of folks. Some people like that kind of work. A lot of people wouldn't enjoy that very much. For a Jewish boy, that was the worst. Okay, pigs were off limits, all right? Hogs were, pork was something the Jewish people did not eat. They did not deal with that. So to have nothing and to be slopping pigs and not even have enough food that you would want to eat the slop for the pigs, and you weren't allowed to because that was for the pigs, this is how bad it got for this kid. And he came to his senses and he thought, this is stupid. The hired hands, the servants, the employees of my father, they eat really well. I'll go back to my father and I'll beg him and tell him that I don't deserve to be his son anymore, but could you just hire me as one of your servants? And so he got himself up and he's smelling bad, smells like the pigs, and he makes his way through the desert to get back to his father's house. And the Bible tells us what his father saw him far off, the father ran to meet him. Now, in our culture, that's not a real big deal. We would think, well, sure, I would run to meet my son. If my son was had come back from his sin, I would run to meet him. In the Jewish culture, wealthy men did not run. Never happened. Never. There's a few reasons for this. One of them is very practical. It's a desert environment, and they wore these long robes that were flowing. It covered all their skin, so they weren't exposed to the sun. It also was flowing, so the air would flow and it would stay somewhat cool. You can't run in those things. And in order to run, you'd have to hike it up. And dignified, wealthy, well-to-do, respected men were not going to hike up their robe and show their knees out in public. It just wasn't done. It wasn't dignified. Besides, if you're wealthy, you have servants to do that. You have people that had work clothes that were able to run for you. And so wealthy, dignified men in society in the Jewish culture did not run. This man ran to meet his son. This is a jaw-dropping moment in the course of the story. And of course, it's very obvious that Jesus is drawing parallels to God being the Father. And the rebellious son, off in sin, is seen coming home, and God runs to meet him. It's just a beautiful scene that the depiction of God runs to meet us when we want to come back. He won't stop us. If we want to rebel, we can go away from God. We have free will. God lets us go with a broken heart. But if we want to come back, God runs to meet us. Now, of course, the young man started this story about, "I don't deserve to be your son. I just want to be a hired hand." The father wasn't listening. He threw his arms around him, didn't care how he smelled. Threw his arms around him, kissed him, told him, "Come on in. We're going to have a great big party. And we're going to celebrate my son coming home." Now, that's a pretty famous story. It's a beautiful story of the redemption, that there is no lengths of sin you can go to that God can't find a way to redeem. There is not a point that you can go to in sin and God says, "I'm done with you. I'm done. I have nothing to do with you anymore. You've gone too far." That doesn't happen. God can always find a way to restore and to redeem. There are people that have done terrible things in this world, but if they will come to God, God can redeem. God can always restore. God can always forgive. God never says, "You've gone too far, go away, I don't want you back." God never says that. God always brings back in. It's a beautiful story. But one of the things that gets lost in this story is there's not just one son. There's two. The older son is out working. He didn't leave. He didn't go blow his dad's money on prostitutes and alcohol. He was there working. He hears music. And he said, what's that going on? They said, "Your brother has come home. Your dad has killed the fatted calf and is throwing a big party." And the older brother refuses to come into the house. I want to read this part again from Luke 15. "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. While he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come home,' he replied, 'and the father has killed the fatted calf because he has come back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So the father went out and pleaded with him." I want to pause right there. The father doesn't play favorites. He ran to meet the son that had rebelled, had gone off into sin, had done terrible things. He ran to meet him and to greet him. When the older son refused to come into the father's house, the father went out and pleaded with him. He's not trying to play favorites between either son. He wants them both. He goes out and he pleads with him. But he answered his father, "Look, All these years, I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. And you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. The father said, my son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because your brother, this brother of yours, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And that's where Jesus ends the story. There are two brothers in this story. One of them comes back to the father's house. The second one, we don't know. Jesus never tells us if the second son comes home. The one that was lost out in the depths of sin comes back and the father runs to meet him. The second son, the older son, who had always done his duty, who had always worked hard, who had always done the right thing, who had always stayed on the straight and narrow, had done everything that was expected of him, he would not come into the house. The father goes out, pleads with him, asks him to come back in, and we don't know if he does or not. Jesus leaves the story hanging. We know that the one in the depths of sin can be restored. The question Jesus leaves hanging is, can the one who has done everything right, who has kept all the rules, and feels like God isn't treating him right, can that person come into the house of God? As I mentioned earlier, Tim Keller wrote a book called Prodigal God that speaks of this. And he puts it this way. Neither son loved the father for himself. They both were using the Father for their own self-centered ends rather than loving, enjoying, and serving the Father for his own sake. This means that you can rebel against God and be alienated from him either by breaking his rules or by keeping them all diligently. It's a shocking message. Careful obedience to the laws of God may serve as a strategy for rebelling against God. Neither of these sons loved the father. They just wanted to use him. The younger son was pretty obvious about it. I want what is coming to me. I'll take it out and do whatever I want. The older son also just wanted to use the father. But he had a different strategy. He didn't demand it. He just expected it because he kept the rules. Because he did what was expected of him. Because he worked hard. Because he was diligent. And because of that, the father owed him in his mind. Tim Keller goes on to write, you can avoid Jesus as Savior by keeping all the moral laws. If you do that, then you have rights. And rights are in quotation marks. God owes you answered prayers, owes you a good life, a ticket to heaven when you die. You don't need a Savior who pardons you by free grace, for you're your own Savior. The older son didn't love the father. He just thought the father owed him because he had done everything right. This is why we say it's not about the rules. It's not about rebelling against the rules and going off into sin, but it's also not about keeping all the rules diligently and therefore being our own Savior. What do we need with the grace of God if we've done everything right? Or at least right enough in our own minds. The younger son selfishly took what is his, what he thought he was owed, and left. He eventually came back. The father welcomed him. The older son also used the father to get what he wanted. But he just had a different strategy about it. I'll do everything I'm supposed to do. I'll keep all the rules, and then the Father owes me. We have a lot of people in the church, in Christianity, who are living the life of the older son that really are not connected to God. It's astounding, and every survey in the world shows that Christians, by and large, don't pray. They don't read the Bible. They don't really think on spiritual things. But the good Christians, and I put that in quotes, the good Christians, they keep a lot of rules. And they try to enforce a lot of rules on other people. They do a lot of diligence. And they look at how good they are. And then sometimes they wonder, why has God not given me what I want? Why is my life not what I want? Why am I not being blessed to the level I want? Why am I seeing people who are not as good as me being blessed? Let me put it another way. If God, just to illustrate the point, is here, at this point, center of this stage, if this is where God is, and I'm here, then I am in relationship with God. I am in the presence of God. Now, if I go way over here, and God's there, I'm not with God. And that's the story of the younger son. He left. He left the father, and he went somewhere else. But what if I go way over to the other side, on the other extreme? I still left the father. I just did it a different way. This is why it's not about the rules. Of course we want to be people of integrity. Of course we want to be people of character. That's who we are, because that's who we're created to be by the Father. But we don't keep rules to try to get God to give us what we want. That's not a relationship of grace. That's an employee. I do my work, and I get paid. I do what I'm supposed to do, and my boss pays me money. That's how it works. And that's what the older son thought about his father. I do what I'm supposed to do. The father pays me money. And he sure doesn't need to be paying someone who doesn't do the work. How would you feel if you went into your job and somebody just sat around all day and got the same pay that you did? Somebody didn't come into work at all. They went down to the pub all day. They came in at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, got the same pay you did. As an employee, that'd make you pretty mad. God's not looking for employees. He's looking for children, for relationship. And we can rebel against that relationship with God by going off into sin. That's obvious. We can go off into sin. We can rebel against God. We can throw away God's life for us, and we can embrace the sins of the world. We know that as Christians, that that's a rebellion against God. But there's another rebellion in the story that Jesus tells. It is the one of keeping all the rules, doing everything right, setting ourselves up as the one God owes, because look what I did for you, God. It's not a relationship of love. God is looking for children that love him, that he can love. He's not looking for employees. He doesn't want us going off into the sins of the world and destroying ourselves. And he doesn't want us just working and diligently following a set of rules as if we don't really need him, because I've got this. I know the rules. I do everything right. What do I need with God? I just need God to give me the set of rules. And he gave me the Bible, so I have that. So what do I need with God? There's a lot of Christians that won't say it that bluntly, but they live that kind of life. There's a lot of Christians that won't say it in that direct manner, but every day of their life, they're pushing God away, not having a spiritual connection with the Creator, and just keeping a set of rules. Both are rebellions against God. Jesus tells the story on purpose of two sons, not just one. One came back. The father ran to meet him. The other refused to come into the father's house. The father pleads with him, and we still wonder, did he come back? There may be some people in this room that have a story like the young son, the one that went off into sin, that went and just made a mess of their life. and came back. And we say hallelujah that you are back with a God who loves you. There can also be some people, perhaps even in this room, that are like the older son, that feel, God owes me. I don't need to pray. I don't need to humble myself to God. I don't need to have a relationship with God. I keep the rules. I do the right thing. I do what I'm supposed to do. I'm a good person. God owes me. That's outside the Father's house as well. And the question that Jesus leaves hanging is, will we come back? Will we come back and be reconciled with the Father and with each other? There are two sons in the story. Most people can relate to one of them. Because there's basically two types of people in the world. There are people that are a colossal mess and they know it. And there's people that are a colossal mess and they don't. There are people that are messed up and realize, I need Jesus as my Savior. And there's people that are messed up but think, I can get this together. I can keep the rules. I can pull it together so that God blesses me. Jesus tells the story of two rebellious sons. Almost everyone fits into one of those stories. What Jesus wants is both sons in the house with the Father, loving the Father, being loved by the Father. Whether your life is a colossal wreck or whether you think you have it together, neither one is the point. The point is, will you love the Father? Will you love God? And will you let Him love you? The Father wants to gather with His children around the table. Are we willing to do that? And that's what we do when we come into this place. Every week we pray together. We gather with the Father around His presence because we love Him. Not to come in and brag about, look at what we've done, God. And not to shy away from God because we're embarrassed by our sinfulness. To put aside those feelings of embarrassment and to put aside those feelings of pride. And to come and be in the presence of God who loves us either way. Who isn't going to hold our sin against us and isn't going to love us because we work hard. He's just going to love us. That's the God we pray to. And a God that wants to love us and a God who wants to be loved. And so we pray. We spend time being connected to God our Father to know that whatever mess we are in, God can restore us. And no matter how good we think we are, we are in desperate need of His grace.